Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Pei. We're getting very close to the end of this beautiful Masechta, the end of Seder Noshim. We continue to learn, Mitzvah Hashem, for the safety of all of the Kochos of the IDF and all of the security forces in Eretz Yisrael. Mitzvah Hashem, they should be protected, they should be safe, they should be able to successfully do what they need to do to bring back the hostages, b'mheira, healthy and safe, and all those in need of Refuah Shleima should have one b'mheira. Okay, we pick up on the very last words of Ayin Tes Amud Beis Amar Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says the following statement. We turn to Pei Amud Aleph. Lo Shanu Ela B'Kotshe Gvur. Rashi explains the Samchinen Akruchen. Yesterday, at the end of the shir, we discuss how we believe certain children to have the lineage of their mother when they're closely attached to their mother. They're literally holding on to her, clinging to her. And in that situation, once we've established that the mother has a good yichus, so then the children have the same yichus as the mother in that situation. And therefore, we rely upon this Akruchen, this being attached. But Reish Lakish says that's only Loshanu. They only said this din that we rely upon the children, that they're the children of that mother, Ela B'Kotshe Gvul, in terms of eating truma, not in terms of eating kotshim. So outside the Yerushalayim, it's called Kotshe Gvul, so we rely upon them to go and be able to eat truma. However, Avo B'Yuchsin Lo. But in order to say that these children have a good yichus, as Rashi says, Im Yesh Behen Benos, if there are girls over here, Eino Nisus LeKohanim, they can't automatically go and be presumed to be of a high yichus that they can marry a Kohen, Achivu Raya, Shem Benosel Shalzu, until they bring clear Raya, clear proof that they are in fact the daughters of this woman that had previously been proven to be a miyuchastika woman. So Reish Lakish says, so the fact that these children cling to the mother, so that's enough to let them eat truma, but it's not enough to allow them, if they're girls there, to go and marry a Kohen and presume that they have a high level yichus. That's the opinion of Reish Lakish. Reish Yochanan disagrees. No, this clinging, this kruchen, this attachment of these children to the mother, once we know that the mother has a established lineage that she could have married a Kohen, so therefore these children are now going to benefit from having that same yichus, and they would be allowed even for marriage purposes to go and be ksherim lekohanim. That is what Rav Yochanan's opinion is. The Ozda Rav Yochanan Taimei, and Rav Yochanan goes according to his reasoning that he expressed elsewhere. The Amar Rav Chiya Barava, Amar Rav Yochanan, Rav Chiya Barava said in Rav Yochanan, Malkin alachazakos, Soklin v'sorfin alachazakos, the Ein Sorfin Trum alachazakos. Now that's a mouthful. So let's look at each piece separately. Malkin alachazakos, what is that? That we will go and actually give lashes, we'll give malkis to somebody based upon a chazaka, and we will actually give skilo or srefa, misas based in, to people based upon a chazaka, but we won't burn trum based upon a chazaka. That's the statement of Chiya Bar Abba, the three statements that he made in the name of Rav Yochanan. So the first one is Malkin ala chazakos, that we would actually give malkis based upon a chazaka. Who does this go in accord with? This goes in accord with the opinion of Kirav Yehuda, like the Amor Rav Yehuda. What did he say? The Amor Rav Yehuda. If a woman is established to be a nida, huchzuka nida b'shchei nosel, a woman is well known to be a nida in her neighborhood. How is that well known? In those days, it wasn't a private matter. Today, it's a very, very private matter between a husband and a wife. It's only whether a woman is muteris libala that anybody has to know that she's a nida or not. It doesn't have ramifications for other people because we don't have dinam of tumah and tara extant. However, in those days, if a woman was a nida, she couldn't sit in a chair. If you'd sit in that chair, you'd become tumah because that chair became a medris l'tumah. So therefore, a woman in those days would wear special begadim that everybody knew were big day nida. So if it was hulsuka nida v'shchein usel, in other words, Rashi says, shero v'shchein usel, the neighbors of this woman saw, shehi hayom, that very day, haisa miluveshes big day nidusa, that she was wearing the nida clothing. In other words, she was a nida at that time. And in this situation, if she's presumed to be a nida, it's just a chazaka that she's a nida. We don't know for a fact that she's a nida. It's a chazaka that she's a nida based upon the clothing. So if her husband were to have relations with her, and clearly, as Rashi points out, she didn't have a chance to go to the mikvah, or that wouldn't be an opportunity for her to go to the mikvah, so then, bala lo ke'ala mishum nida. If the husband was witnessed to have relations with her, so the husband would in fact get malkas for having relations with a nida. Now, again, it's only a chazaka that she's a nida, and here's what we see. The first statement that Rav Chiya Bar Abba made in the name of Yochanan, Malkin ala Chazakas, will even give Malkas based upon the Chazaka that this woman was a Nida. Where do we find the next situation, Soklin v'sorfin ala Chazakos? Where do we find that we'll give Skila or Sreifa, Mises based in, based upon a Chazaka? That goes in accord with Kidurabba bar Rav Huna. Rabba said, the son of Rav Huna said this statement. What did he say? Dama Rabba bar Rav Huna. Rabba bar Huna said, Ish, the Isha, Tinok, the Tinokes, if you have these four people, what appears to be a husband and a wife, a man and a woman, and a daughter and a son, a Tinok and a Tinokes, Shegdilu Bisol Chabais, they were raised in one house. They moved into the neighborhood, and they acted and held themselves out to be husband, wife, son, and daughter. So everybody doesn't know for a fact. There's no Edom over here, but it's a chazakah. They've been living here for 20 years. And everybody knows, yeah, that's Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so, and that's their children, their boy and their girl. And in this situation, if Rachmanu Litzlan, we were to see, Ish, the Isha, Tino, Vitinoka, Shigdilu, Zilchabais, if they went and had relations with each other, so as Rashi points out, if you were to have the Bo Habein Alo Isha, if the one that we consider to be the son had relations with the woman that we consider to be the mother, so we go and give skila to that son based upon Mishum Bo Al Imo, a person has relations, Rachmanu Litzlan, with his mother, so that's Chayv skila. So he Allah. So she would get skila for having relations with her son, and he would have relations, skila, for getting having relations with his mother, chas v'shalom. So if they conducted themselves, it's a chazaka that this is a mother and a son. We have no proof of it. Nevertheless, we'll give skila if we see them having relations. And likewise, the nisrofim zelzeh. So Rashi explains, in ba'ish alabas, if this so-called father had relations with his so-called daughter, they'd be conducting themselves as father and daughter, and now they have relations, the bita b'sreifa, the isser of having relations with your daughter, both of them would be chayv sreifa. So we see from this statement of Rabba Bar Rav Huna that we will actually give skila and sreifa, mises based in, based upon a chazaka, that this couple acted as a husband and wife and those were their children. And if we see that they then have relations with the father, with the daughter, and the mother, with the son, so then they'll respectively get sreifa and skila in that situation. Now the Gemara brings down a Maisa Shahaya that shows the situation. And that is Amr Rishum Ben Pazi. Rishum Ben Pazi said in the name of Amr Rishum Ben Levi, who said in the name Mishum Bar Kapara. He didn't hear it directly from him. He heard it over in the name of Bar Kapara. Maisa, the one says a story. Be'isha Shabbos Yushalayim, a woman who came to Yushalayim, V'tinok Murkov Lo Al Ksefa, and she came with a little child riding on her shoulders. So it was presumed that this child was attached to her. She was the mother, and this was a little child. However, this little child grew up, V'gdilatu, and the child grew up. This woman, who we assumed was his mother, Nebuch, had relations with his child, Ubalel. So what did they do? They paskin that this was a chazaka, that she was the mother, and this was her son, and there were witnesses, Hasra, Ve'evim le'beisdin u'skolim, and there was all the appropriate beisdin in this situation. She got Hasra, they were warned, and nevertheless they had relations, and there were witnesses, and they punished them with mises beisdin of skila. Now, lo mipnei shebno vaday, not because we had testimony that this was her son, Ella mipnei shekoruch achara, because we have a chazaka that this was her son. Not that we have Adam to prove that this was her son. And here you see, again, lamaisa, that we go and give skila for a chazaka. Okay. Now, the third statement that Rabbi Yochanan made was as follows. We said the ein sarfin truma ala chazakos, as opposed to we will give malchus on a chazaka, we'll give mises based in skila and sreif on a chazaka, but we won't burn truma on a chazaka. In other words, we won't consider something to become tamei based upon a chazaka and go and burn that truma. Now, what is this case? The Amar Rishon Min Lakish, Rish Lakish said, sarfin al chazakas. Rish Lakish holds that we will actually go and burn truma based upon a chazaka that it became tamei. Whereas Rav Yochan Omer ain't sarfin. Rav Yochan says, no, we'll be what we call tola. We'll leave it in abeyance. We won't let you eat it because there's a concern that it is tamei, but we won't let you go and actively burn truma tamei because maybe it's not vadai tamei. And that's the machlokas between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan, whether we do or we do not sarfin truma sala chazaka. So Rav Yochanan says we do not, whereas Reish Lakish says that we do. What's the rationale? V'yazul tamayu. Each of them has their own reason behind their shittos. Reish Lakish says that we do burn, and Rav Yochanan says that we don't, because it's based upon the tznan that we learned in a Mishnah in Taharos. The Mishnah there tells us, Tinok, if you have a young child, shenimtza bitzada isa, that is right next to a dough, and he has a piece of dough in his hand, ubatzik biyado. Now, we don't know for certain that it's from that dough. It's just a high presumption that this little kid is right next to a dough, and he has dough in his hand, so there's a chazaka, a high presumption that this dough came from the larger dough. The dough in the child's hand came from the big dough. Now, Rabbi Meir says, no, mitar, the big dough is tar. We have to presume the dough in the child's hands is tummy because the child's constantly touching all sorts of tummy things. There's a presumption that the child is tummy, and therefore the dough in the child's hands, vada in the child's hands, that is considered tummy. But even though it's right next to a bigger dough, we don't assume that the child touched the bigger dough, and that's how he got the little dough in his hands. And that's the opinion of Rav Meir. Rav Meir Mitar. We'll see in a moment why. But it's based upon Rav Meir's famous shita throughout Shat that he's choshishin lemiyuta, which we'll explain in a moment, that he's always concerned about the very unusual situations, the minority likelihood. Whereas the Chachamim Mitamin in this situation, they say, no, how else in the world did this child get the dough in his hand? Mistama, he got it from the big dough. And if he got it from the big dough, so then, in fact, he touched the big dough, and therefore the big dough is tummy. Now, what's the understanding of this machlok between Rav Meir and the Chachamim? That's what they ask in the Beis Medrash. Vavinam, but in the Beis Medrash, they ask, my time of the Rav Meir. Why does Rav Meir say in this situation that the child's dough in his hand is definitely tummy, but the big dough next to him is not definitely tummy? Rav Meir says it's tar. We consider the big dough to be tar. So the reasoning is, kasadar rov tinokos mitapchin. Everybody agrees that the vast majority of children play around with dough. They're going to go and touch whatever it is. Kids are constantly touching stuff. However, there are some kids that don't. Umiut ein mitapchin. So while it is the majority that go and probably touch this dough, there's a minority that doesn't touch the dough. And Rav Meir is choshesh for this miyuta. And therefore, the Esau, this dough, previously was known to be tar. Becheskas tahara omedes. We know for a fact that this dough was tar. When we came back into the room, we see a kid next to it holding on to some pieces of dough. So therefore, that dough, which was originally tar, what is its status now? So Rav Meir says, usmoch miuta, the miut, the kids that don't touch the dough, ein mitapchin, you attach that to lichazaka, that it was tahar, and therefore Israel Ruba, that ruins the fact that the majority of children touch the dough. And therefore, Rav Meir, who is choshesh for this miut, combines it with the fact that the dough was tar, and in this situation, we have the rove being pushed aside over here by the fact that we have the miut and the chazaka. Whereas the Rabbanan, they're not choshesh lemiyuta. The Rabbanan miyuta keman deleisa domi. They aren't concerned about the miyut, and therefore all they have is the rove tinokos in the topkin. So there's a rove that this dough was touched. And ruba, the chazaka, and you have the rove that the child touched the dough and was metamiyit versus the chazaka that the dough was tar. So when you have these two competing principles, ruba adif, the rove trumps the chazaka. So therefore, the chachamim say in this situation that the dough is vaday tame, and we treat it as vaday tame. Now, Rish Lakish Shum Rav Hoshaya. Rish Lakish comes along and tells the name of Rav Hoshaya, zuhi shesarfin ola eset truma. Based upon this, we would go and burn this truma according to the chachamim who hold that ruba v'chazaka, ruba adiv. So then you would vaday go and burn this dough. However, Rav Yochanan Amar, Rav Yochanan says, no, ein zu chazaka shesarfin ola truma. You would not go and burn this dough because there is a possibility that in fact is not tame, because while we're not choshesh for that miyuta, we have to acknowledge that there is such a concept there, and even though therefore it's ruba v'chazak, ruba adiv, but we won't go and say this is vaday tamei truma, this dough is truma, and therefore we won't go and burn it. We'll say you can't go and eat it, of course, but we are told that we'll wait till it spoils, and then we'll go and get rid of it then. So therefore, this is what Reish Lakish and Rav Yosef are arguing about over here. Nu, what is an example? Ela'ezu chazok l'Rav Yochanan shesarfin ola'es ha'truma. Under what circumstances would Rav Yochanan say that we do in fact go and burn the truma and assume it's vadei tamei? Kiditnan. That's a different Mishnah, a Braisa actually. Or Gemara says kiditnan, but on the Masoras HaShas, he points out over on the side that this really should be kiditanya. In any event, we learn in this Braisa, if the Gemara says kiditanya, Esau besocha bayis, if there is a dough inside a house. And in this house, you also have ushrotzim utzvardim mitaplim sham. And you have in that house shrotzim, which are going to be mitame the dough if they're dead. And you have tzvardim, which are little frogs, but they're not mitame as the shmona shrotzim. The shmona shrotzim that are listed in Parsha Shmini and in Parsha Rei, only they are mitame as the sherets when they're dead. And the shrotzim are mitame, such as the tzav, which is dome litzvardeya, like a toad, which is similar to the frog. So hatsav is tummy, Rashi says, vatsvardeya is tar. So you have in this house a bunch of frogs and toads, let's say. So they are metaplin shom, and they're dead. And you have their pieces of limb, the nimtzu chatichos ba'isa. And now you have this dough, which was previously known to be tar, that now has some pieces over here of the limbs of either the shrotzim, which would be metamide dough, or the tzvardeya, which would not be metamide dough. So the Brisa tells us, im rov shrotzim, if the majority of the creatures in that house were in fact shrotzim, so then the dough is presumed to be tmeya, and you would go and burn it even. Im rov tzvar diim, but if the majority of the creatures in the house were tzvar diim, which are not metami the dough, then Torah, we can say that the dough is definitely tar. Now why over here will we absolutely go and burn this dough if it was a majority that were shrotzim? So Rashi explains, im abayis muhzekis lo shrotzim, mitzuyim shom yosem mitzvardiyim, if you have the majority of shrotzim, more so than the minority of tzvardiyim, tome af lisorev. In this situation, even Rav Yochanan would admit that you go and burn the dough if it was truma. Because the chazaka, the ruba, the isi kamonhu. Because we have a chazaka over here that this was a kosher dough, but we also have a ruba, the isa kamon. The rove is right in front of us. The rove of the shrotzim are shrotzim. The rove of the creatures here are shrotzim, more so than are the tzvardeim. And therefore, in our situation over here, we say that since it's a ruba de'isa lekamon, a rove that is here, physically present. For example, you have 50 legs over here of a sheretz, and you have 2 legs of a tzvardeya. So the majority that is right here, the isa kamon, is clearly going to allow us to go and say, this is vadai able to be burned, it is tomei, and we can go burn it. As opposed to, in the case of the dough and the baby, as Rashi points out, in that situation, Aval hai de tinok ruba de leisei kamonu. We had said, yes, the majority of children touch those, but there's a minority that doesn't. But we have one child over here. That's not the majority in front of us. That's the majority of all the children in the world. Most of them will touch the dough. That's ruba de leisei kamon. And in a ruba de leisei kamon, Rav Yochanan says that we wouldn't burn it, we would be tolit. So therefore, this is the only area where Rav Yochanan would say that we'd normally burn it based upon a chazaka, but in general, we would not burn it based upon a chazaka. That's the third and final statement that was made by Rav Yochanan. Now we have a Tanya Kavasi, the Rav Yochanan. We have a Brisa in support of what we just said of Rav Yochanan. What's the Brisa? The Brisa says, Shnei Dvarim. There are 2 scenarios, 2 items. Ein b'hem das lishol, and nevertheless, v'asom chachomim k'mo sheyesh b'hem das lishol. What does this mean, das lishol? So the famous rule that I mentioned already today, and we've mentioned previously, is that tumba in Rishus HaRabim, if it's sofek tumba b'Rishus HaRabim, it's a sofek whether it was tami or not, so in Rishus HaRabim it's going to be tahar, and sofek tumba b'Rishus HaYachid, in general we say is tame. But there's an additional factor there, and that is, is there a das lishoel? Is there somebody there that you can ask about it? And only in that situation where there is somebody there that you can ask about it, do we say, sofek tumma b'rishus hayachid, and there's das lishoel, boy, there was a person there, and you could theoretically ask him, did you or did you not touch the item in the rishus hayachid? So then, in that situation, even though he doesn't know, but you could have asked him, he has the potential to know the answer, in that situation we say, sofek tumma b'rishus hayachid, where there is das lishol, so then we say sofek tumma is tame. But in general, if it's sofek tumma b'rishus hayachid, and there is ein das lishol, so there was an animal over there, and you can't ask the animal any questions, so then we would say sofek tumma, even b'rishus hayachid, is normally going to be tahar. And here, the Brisa says there are 2 exceptions to this rule, where even though shnei dvarim, where ein behem das lishol, there is no ability to ask them, as we'll see in the cases in a moment. And nevertheless, vasom chachamim, the rabbi said, in this situation, we will treat this sofek kimashi yesh behem das lishol, as if there was somebody there that you could have asked, and we say, therefore, sofek tumah, in this situation, birshus hayochid, is going to be sveiko tome. Now, what are these 2 cases? So the first one is tinok, the case of the child with the dough, and va'od acheres, and another case. Now, what is the other case? So Tino called the Amar. The case of the child is the Tino who was next to the dough, has a piece of dough in his hand, and did he or did he not touch the other dough? So here, even though this is a Tino, ain't bodas lishol, and nevertheless, we say in this situation that sofek tum mebirshus hayachid is going to be sveiko tome, even though ein das lishol. So this is the first of the exception. And the second exception is ba'oda cheres mahi. What is that? So iso b'socha bayis. You have a dough in a house, and you have a tarnegolin umashkim tmeim sham. And there's a chicken there who mistama is going to drink some of the water. This tomei water, this tomei mashka, and when it drinks it, it's going to get it on its beak, and then it's going to go peck in the dough, and it's going to transport the tomei water onto the dough. And therefore, in this situation, the nimsu, when we turn to pei on the vase, the nimsu, nikurim ba'itza, is going to peck in the dough, and it's going to go and transfer this tomei water into the dough. So in both of these situations, Tolin, we say Sofik Tomei B'Rishus HaYochid is Tomei, even though Ein Das Lishol, but it's not a Vadai Tomei, and that's why this is consistent with Rav Yochanan, who says Tolin. We don't go and burn the Truma in this situation, El Tolin. We let it stay, we can't eat it, but we can't go and actively burn it, because maybe it's not Tomei, and we just wait till it spoils. So Lo Ochlin, Lo Sarfin. So we can't eat it, but there's an Isser in going and burning Truma if it's not Tomei, so we just let it sit there till it spoils, and then we can go and get rid of it. So therefore, this is a brisa that is a supportive of Rav Yochanan Shita. Now, the brisa we ask on this, Amar Rav Shimon Levi. Rav Shimon Levi said that this brisa's lo shana was only talking about ela b'mashkim levonim. It's only if there were clear liquids. It's only if the liquids were white. And therefore, the white liquids, if the chicken were to go peck on the water and then peck on the dough, the white liquid that it transferred over would be absorbed into the dough. We wouldn't recognize that there was white liquid over there. And that's why we say it's a sofek. However, avol b'mashkim adumim, if we're dealing here with red liquids, which would be recognizable if they were in the dough, and now you don't see them in the dough, so in Esau did not care if, in fact, the chicken went and pecked, made the idea. We certainly would see it, because you would see the red liquid there. And therefore, if you don't see red liquid there, Rav Shimon Levi says, then the dough is still tahar. Now, the Gemara questions this and says, really? How do you know it's tar? The Dilma may be bilatinu isa. Maybe the red liquid also got absorbed into the dough. Okay, it's red, but it could still get absorbed into the dough. So why aren't you concerned about that? So I'm Rav Yochanan says, certainly Dover Zesh Shishama Beribi, something which the Gadol HaDor, Beribi is the title of the Gadol HaDor, which Rashi says he's referring over here to Rav Shimon Levi. So something which the Gadol HaDor, Rav Shimon Levi, heard, Uperusha Lo Shama, he didn't hear the reasoning behind it? Of course he did. And therefore, what Rav Shimon Levi is telling us is, Lo Shanu Ela B'mashkim Slulim. We're dealing over here where there were such clear liquids, Shebibua Shaltinok Nikobhem. If you could see the face of a small child, in other words, it's clear, it's only a small amount, but you can see the face of a small child in it, so then in that situation, the liquid would be absorbed into the dough, and you couldn't necessarily tell that there was liquid in it, and therefore we have to be presuming that, in fact, the liquid was brought here by the chicken, and it got absorbed into the dough, and therefore tolin v'lo ochlin v'lo sarfin. However, avo mashkin achorim, but if it was cloudy, dirty type of liquids, in other words, you couldn't see your shadow, you couldn't see your face in them, and therefore they wouldn't be easily absorbed into the dough, then lo. So then we would not say that the dough is tamei, if you didn't see this cloudy liquid. And if you didn't see the cloudy liquid, we would say, in fact, that the dough is tahar. Because if there was cloudy liquid there, we would recognize that it wouldn't be absorbed. And therefore, the fact that we don't see any cloudy liquid over there, it must be that the chicken didn't peck the water into the dough, and the dough, therefore, is tahar. So we only have to be concerned about tolin in a situation where the liquid would not be visible, even if it had been transferred over by the chicken. Okay, now we go on to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah states, Lo yisyachid odom im shtei noshim. A man is not allowed to be alone with two women. There is an issur of yichud. We'll discuss in the Gemara that according to most, this is an issur daraisa. There is the opinion of the Rambam that it's only an issur derabanan, but the majority opinion is that it's an issur daraisa for a man to be alone with a woman. So lo yisyachid odom im shtei noshim. He's not even allowed to be with two women. Why? Rashi explains, B'pnei daiton kalon. As Gemara will explain, they're somewhat sometimes going to be a little bit easier to convince to have relations with shteim nochus lispatos. Maybe that both women will agree to be having an illegal relationship with this man because v'lo tira zumi chavereta, they're not embarrassed one to the other because they'll say shafhi tase kamosa. Just like I'm going to commit an act of immorality with this man, she'll also do it. And therefore, The Mishnah tells us that a man can't be alone with two women because the likelihood that he'll have relations with both of them is there, as opposed to the other way around. Aval isha achas, a single woman, misyachedes im shtei anoshim, with two men. Because here, as Rashi points out, we're not concerned. She'echod bo shmei chaveru, the man would be embarrassed to have relations when another man knew that he was having relations with this woman illicitly. And therefore, if it's two men, as the Gemara will explain, you're dealing with two decent men. If they're prutzim, so then it's not allowed, even 10 men. But if they're two decent men, each one would be embarrassed to have relations with the other one knowing about it. That's the Tanakhama's opinion. Rav Shimon Omer, af ish echad misyachad im shtei noshim. He says, no, a man can be alone with two women. We're not concerned about this. Now, the girsa that we have is only, however, bizman she'ishto imo. And this is because his wife is with him. So therefore, it's not a problem for him to be alone with two other women, because his wife will protect him and make sure that he doesn't go and commit an immorality with either of the two women. And they'd even be allowed to stay together in the same hotel, in the same room, because his wife is there to protect him, to make sure that he doesn't do an avera. Tosus has a different understanding. Tosus has a different gears over here. And Tosus says, in the top Tosus of Shimon Omer, he says that mashma, it seems the gears that we have is dil rabbanon, according to the opinion of the Chachamim, afilu ishto imo aser, that it's only Reb Shimon that says if his wife is there, that this would be acceptable with two women. Implication being that the Chachamim would say no. If ishto imo is also lisyachet, according to the opinion of the Chachamim, and this is true, v'afilu l'Rabbi Shimon, nami im shtei noshim v'ishto imo. It's only when there's two women there and his wife that Rabbi Shimon allows it. Implication being, avul im isha achas, and his wife, afilu ishto imo, would be osur. So that's the simple understanding that Tosus says of the girsa that we have. But Tosus doesn't like this. He's based upon a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, which says that that's not true. And therefore, you jump down to almost the end of the Tosus. He says, Lekach nir l'ri, it appears that the right way that the girsa should be, it would be according to the ri, is, now the girsa that Tosus has is the Rabbi Shimon, but in Oz Beis, in the Bach, it tells us, v'nir l'ri de l'rabbanon, nami eino asur, that even according to the Chachamim, it would only be asur, elo kishein ishto imo, dafka, that it's only forbidden with two women if his wife is not there. But even the Chachamim say, if his wife is there, then he's permitted. V'achi garsinon, Rabbi Shimon Omer, af ish echad misyachid im shtei noshim, that's in general, that Rabbi Shimon says, even without your wife there, one man can be with two women, they're not going to do an Aveira. And if his wife is there, he can even stay in the same hotel room with them. His wife will protect him. And here, this is not only Rabbi Shimon, but also Afilu Rabbanon, Afilu Misha Achas. And this would be true even if it's with his wife, even if it's only one other woman over there. So that's the preferred girsa that Tosus has over here. In any event, the Mishnah continues and tells us that misyachid odom im imo v'imbito, a man is permitted to be alone with his mother or with his daughter. Let's say a man is living alone with his mother, so there's no isser of yichud there, or a man's living alone with his daughter, there's no isser of yichud in those situations. And even when they're younger, v'yoshin imoam b'kiru baser, they're even allowed to sleep in the same bed, even without clothing fully on, because we're not concerned with a parent and a child that something Rachmana Litzlan would occur, some incestuous relation would occur when they're younger. However, v'migdilu, when they get older, so then the parent shouldn't sleep with the child of the opposite sex without having clothing on. They're still allowed to stay in the same bed. We're not concerned about Rechmona Luslan, an incestuous relationship. The Gemara in Yuma tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away the raving desire for incest that was present originally. We just learned in Parshas Bereishis that Cain and Hevel, they had a huge fight over the two sisters that were born with Cain. Each of them claimed that they should be entitled to the two, and the other one should be only entitled to one. And Chazal tell us that originally the desire for incestuous relations was very great. After all, who is more like you than your brother or your sister? And it's only when HaKadosh Baruch Hu took it away, the famous story in the Gemara in Yuma, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away the desire for incest, that we don't have that strong desire today present among us. Nebuch, there still are rare cases, but at least they're rare cases. So in this situation, even when they get older, you're still allowed to stay in the same bed with them. However, in that situation, you should wear clothing. Zu yishena b'chsusa, v'zeh yoshev b'chsusa. The mother should sleep with her clothing, and the child, the older child, should sleep with his clothing as well. Okay, that's the Mishnah. Now, the Gemara starts off and says, my timer, what's the rationale, which we already saw in Rashi? Why does the Tanakhama say that a man is not allowed to be alone with two women? After all, why aren't we going to say that one woman will not let the other woman sin? So the Gemara tells us, like we explained from Rashi in the Mishnah, Tana Devei Elio, they learn the Beis Medrash of Elio. What does it mean, the Beis Medrash of Elio? So there's a famous Gemara in Ksubos where we had learned that Rav Anan was a regular basis, was learning with Eliyahu, and Eliyahu taught him this, and this is called Tana Devei Elio. Alternatively, there was a Tana whose name was Elio. In any event, they learned in this Beis Medrash, Hold the notion daitan kalo, since women are much more easily persuaded, seduced, so it could easily be notion daitan kalo salein, so it's very possible that each of the two women would say, sure, it's okay if I have relations with her, the other woman's not going to be thinking less of me because she's also going to have relations with her. And therefore, that's what the Tanakam holds, that a man can't be alone with two women. Now, where do we learn this concept of an Isur of Yichud from the Torah? Minohani Mili. Where do we learn it from? Some Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rav Yishmael. Rav Yochanan said the name of Rav Yishmael. Remez li Yichud min HaTorah minayim. Where do we see a remez, an allusion to Yichud min HaTorah? Most learn this as a din d'oraisa, as I just said. So it's not just a remez, it's the actual din in the Torah of Yichud. Whereas the Rambam learns this over here, it's just a remez, it's just an asmachta. So the pasuk that is being used, whether it's the actual din or whether it's an asmachta, is Shenemar. The pasuk tells us, ki yisischa, when the brother, Achicha, will go and try to seduce you to go and worship Avodah Zarah. Who will be this brother? Ben Imecha. It will be your maternal brother. Now, why specifically are we concerned in the Torah about your maternal brother seducing you to worship Avodah Zarah? V'chi ben aim mesis ben av eno mesis. What, it's only a maternal brother that would try to make you do Avodah Zarah, and a paternal brother wouldn't necessarily try to make you do Avodah Zarah. What's going on over here? So, El Olom Alecha, to teach us this rule, that bein misyached imimo, that a son is allowed to be with his mother, and therefore he will have contact with maternal brothers, even though all the other arayas are forbidden. All the other arayas you're not allowed to go be alone with. Nevertheless, a maternal brother you are allowed to be alone with because you are allowed to be alone with your mother. So therefore, that's what the chiddush is over here. This is minayin le yichud min haTorah. So this is the source for it because it uses the lashon of ki yisischa ochicha ben imecha. So that's the source. Now, where it says, Pashti dekra, what's the simple meaning of the dekra? But Mike said, that's obviously not the simple meaning of the pasuk. Why does the pasuk say that you'll possibly be seduced to worship Avodah Zarah by your maternal brother? Why specifically your maternal brother? So I'm Rabbi. Rabbi says, Lo mi boy kamar. It is something that didn't need to be said, but we said it anyway. Lo mi boy, you didn't have to tell me that Ben Av is possibly going to be maces you. The son Eli, that you certainly should be concerned that you're paternal brother may try to seduce you to worship Avodah Zarah because he's looking to get you into trouble because you and he are both co-inheritors. So if he gets you out of the ball game, so he gets the full inheritance. So there's a potential enmity, a potential hatred, the sunny lay, because, hey, you're taking half of my Yerusha. So in that situation, it goes without saying, lo mi boy kamar, you don't have to tell me that we have to be concerned about ki yisischa ochicha ben avicha, a paternal brother. So the chiddush is, for ayitz le'etzis roles, the paternal brother is definitely going to give you bad advice because he'd love to see you get hauled off to jail or killed, and therefore he doesn't have to split the Yerusha with you. But the chiddush is, el afilu ben aim, the lo sonny lay, even a maternal brother who you don't inherit with. A maternal brother doesn't inherit with the other brothers, the father's estate, because it's a maternal brother only. He'll inherit his father. You won't inherit his father, but he won't inherit your father. So there's no natural enmity between you. The lo sonny lay. And nevertheless, the pasuk tells us, even here, you have to be concerned, ki yisischa ochicha ben imecha. That's why the Gemara says, emotzaisle. You might have thought that you would listen to him, kamashulon. Therefore, the Torah warns us, no, don't listen to him either, because he's obviously trying to lead you astray. Now the Gemara says, Neima masnisin delo ki Abishol. Let us say that our Mishnah is not in accord with the opinion of Abishol. What did Abishol say? The Tanya, we learned in the following brisa. Nebuch rechmonu litzlan. If a child dies at a very young age before he's 30 days old, kol shloshim yom, Yotzei b'chek. Rashi explains that a very young child doesn't require a regular burial. Rechmona litzlan, v'lad shemeis besol shloshim yom. Rechmona litzlan, lo aleinu. If a child dies within the first 30 days of its life, ain't tzorich l'chabdo. We don't go and have a covered achron. We don't have the normal covered of a burial that we do for a child that dies after 30 years of age, or a regular person dies. That we don't go and be l'chabdo b'moso l'hotzio l'kvura. Lo b'mita, v'lo b'kliva. We don't go and bring him out in an aron, in a coffin, or in anything like a basket or some sort of a container, but we just carry the baby out, ela b'chek, in the bosom of the parents. So they just carry the baby out, but you don't put the baby into some sort of a coffin. Now, in this situation as well, and v'nikbar b'isha achas u'shtei anoshim, and there isn't a huge ceremony, there isn't a huge processional in this situation, as Rashi says, v'ein tzarich rabim l'lavoso elegimel. We just have three people going out there, so it'll be the mother and two men. Now, that's what the Brisa says, have the mother and two men go out there, but not avalo b'ish echav, and not just the father, u'shtei anoshim, and two women. That's improper, because the Tanakama of this Brisa is concerned, even in that situation, of the man having, unfortunately, an immorality to perform with both of the two women. Whereas Abashal Omer, no, we're not concerned about that. We're not concerned that an immorality will take place over here. And therefore, we see that Abashal is not concerned about one man and two women. And therefore, the author of our Mishnah, who is concerned about one man and two women, obviously is not like Abashal. Shmuel says, no. You could even say that our Mishnah goes like Abashal. Why in this Brisa with Nebuch, the little baby, the child that dies less than 30 days of age, is he not concerned? Because only over there, Bishas Aninus, Tovir Yitzre. Because Nebuch, they're in Aninus, they're burying their child. So at that moment in time, the Yetzahara is not going to be sholate on them. And even though under normal circumstances, one man with two women, there is a potential for Yetzahara to unfortunately have relations with both of them. In this situation, there isn't. So only over here does Abashal say that he doesn't concern himself with one man and two women, albeit in general, such as in our Mishnah, he wouldn't allow one man with two women. No, that's a pretty good argument that the Yetzahara is not sholate in that situation. So why did the Tanakhama, the Brisa, say that even in the situation of burying a child, lo ish echad ushtei noshim, the Rabbanim, what do they say? So they hold like Rav Yitzchak. Sari lo ki Rav Yitzchak. What does Rav Yitzchak say? The Amar Rav Yitzchak, ma yisonin odom chai, gever achat to'av. The famous pasuk from the third perek in Eicha, where it says, so a living person, he shall go and mourn over here for his sins. What does that mean? Mari says, afilu bishas aninuso shel adam. Even Nebuchadnezzar, when a person's in an anida state, he is waiting to bury his dead, yitzro miskaber lov. The Yetzer is so strong, the Chachamim are concerned that even in this situation of aninus, that the person will, rachmon litzlan, go and commit an aveira. No, that's logical. What does Abishol say to that? The Abishol, he says, no, I dash the pasuk differently. Kik siv hahu, that pasuk, my son in Adam Choy, Gevra Chatov, is talking about b'misrayim al midoso ksiv. It's talking about a person who's complaining against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hey, what did you do to me? This is what the person is saying. My Yisrayim al midoso. How dare a person complain to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about what he gave to him? V'chi govar al chatov? Is he such a tzaddik over here that he's overcome his Yetzahara? Dayo chayim shenasati lo. He should be happy that I let him live. And he shouldn't complain about why did this happen to him? Why did that tragedy happen to him? No, that's a good argument. So therefore, the Rabbanan, what do they say about that? So they say, no, even in this situation, ki hao maisa dahi itza, there once was a maisa with a woman, dahava uvda v'afikte. What happened was that Rashi says that this woman was so interested in Rachmona Litzlan doing an Aveira, but she needed to be alone with the guy, so she made believe that her child had died, and she took her child out, who was alive, but made it sound like the child had died, so she could be alone with this guy outside of town. So you see that in these situations, a person could concoct all sorts of strange ideas, Rachmona Litzlan, for immorality. The Yetzirah is very strong upon the person. And therefore, the Chacham hold, even at a funeral, one should be concerned. Rashi has a second shot, a second girsa, that doesn't have the words dahava uvda v'afikte, and that's talking about Rachmona Litzlan. The one time was a woman that lost her sons, and she kept on crying and crying. They told her, "You're crying too much," and she kept on crying, and she lost every one of her other six sons as well, and ultimately she died also. So that's how you would darshan the pasuk. Tosos in Dibra Maskil Kihai Maisa explains the Maisa a little bit more, and he says, Pirsh Rabbeinu Chananel, Maisa b'isha achas, the once was a woman, Shaisa boche umisonenes al kever bala. Nebuch, her husband died, and she was crying at the gravesite with her dead husband's body in the grave. And there was a man over there, Shayashomer Tolui Echad, that was guarding a certain man that had been hung over there. He was sent there by the king to guard this man, that nobody should take him down. And the king had commanded him to go and make sure that nobody took down this dead body that was being hung. Ubayit Elisha, but he got near this woman, and Upitosa, and he seduced her, and Vishamalo, and she had relations with him. No. He then, after the relations, goes back to the man that he was supposed to guard. He didn't find him there. He was very upset. He was terrified over here because mipachad hamelech. He was afraid that the king had told him to go and watch that person, and now that person is gone. So this woman, again, this goes to show you how far people will go and in order to sin. So she said, Armelo, don't worry about it. Armelo Isha, Al Teira, don't be afraid. Kach Bali Bikibro, take my husband out from the grave. Utulu Bumkomu, and hang him over there where your dead guy that you were supposed to be watching was hung. V'afik de labala, and that's what they did with Talu. And therefore, you see from here, Hare Lucho Shafilu B'shas Aninos, even at the time, this woman just lost her husband. The Yetzirah can be extremely powerful. Miskaber Yitzra Olel. The Yetzirah could go and cause a person to sin even at that point in time. Gemara continues and says, Abol Isha Achas. But we said in the Mishnah that one woman is allowed to be alone, to be miyached with two men. And Amar Yehuda Marav, Yehuda Marav says about that, Lo Shanu El B'Ksherim. As I pointed out in the Mishnah, that's only if the two men are righteous men, they're K'sherim. However, Abol B'Prutzim, if these are men of an inferior character. In other words, if these are people that are prutzim, they're more than happy to do the Aveira. So then, afilu be'asara, namilo, a woman to be alone with even 10 men is not allowed. And Hava Maisa Nebuch, there once was such a Maisa, and they took out a woman, they made believe she was dead, Votsiu Asar Bemita, they made believe that this woman was dead, in order to go and have relations with her. Once they were outside of town, they could go and have relations with her. Rashi says this was an Ashes Ish, and this was a terrible, terrible sin that was done. And again, it shows you that if people are of a low standing, they're Prutzim, they're, Menuvalim, so then a woman shouldn't be alone with them. Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef says, Tei, that you should know, the mechabre be'asara, the gunve kishura. And sometimes you have a very heavy beam, and it takes 10 people to go and steal this beam. V'lo michsefei mi'adadei. And they're not embarrassed one to the other. You should think that each one would be embarrassed that I'm stealing something. No, they all steal it all 10 together, and therefore the 10 men who are prutzim wouldn't be embarrassed to do an avera. Each of them would do the avera with the woman. They're not embarrassed that somebody else is doing the avera. They all do the avera. And let us say, name a mesayile, that the following mishnah, which is a mishnah in Sota, is supporting what we just said. Because it says over there, that Rachman will son, if a woman is suspected of being a sota, her husband told her, don't closet yourself away with that guy, and then she does closet herself away with that guy, although we don't have evidence that she committed an avera, but we have two aides that say that she closets herself away with that guy, so then she has to drink the mei sota. Okay, now, what happened? Mosrin lo shnei talmidei chachamim, when the rabbi sent this guy up to the Beis HaMikdash with his wife, so they sent with him two talmidei chachamim to go and escort them to the Beis HaMikdash. Most of them shnei tamidei chachamim, because shema yavo aleha baderech, because maybe the husband's going to be interested in having relations with his wife on the way. They're still husband and wife. And of course, the din is that once he accuses of being a sota and she closets herself away and they aid him, so he's not allowed to have relations with her. He has to divorce her and give her a ksuba if she doesn't want to, if he doesn't want her to give her to drink. And if she doesn't drink, then he has to divorce her and she's not entitled to a ksuba. But the normal ruling is that she goes to drink the meisota, and the meisota, they erase the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and she drinks it. So if she's in fact innocent, so then she'll be rewarded. And if in fact she is guilty, she will die a horrible death, as will the one that she committed adultery with. Now, we provide two tamidei chachamim, most lo shnei tamidei chachamim, v'davka tamidei chachamim over here, shema yavo aleha baderech, that the husband shouldn't have relations with his wife, because, as Rashi brings down, if in fact they have relations, so then the waters will not work, and then we'll just erase the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in vain, because the waters will not work. So therefore, we send along two tamidei chachamim to tell him not to have relations, shema yavo aleha baderech. Now, bedavka tamidei chachamim in. In Shei D'Amalo, we bedavka send along two Tamidei Chachamim. And isn't that because if it was regular plain people who are prutzim, so then we have to be concerned that they'll all commit Naveru with her. And therefore, we bedavka send along Tamidei Chachamim. So this seems to be a raya that Asara, Vegan, Vekishura, Velo Mitzvah, Vemi Adade, that people, Nebuch, when they do an Avera, they don't. They're all doing the Avera. They're not a man that somebody else is watching them doing it because he's doing the Avera too. So too, they'll all sleep with this woman, Rachmon al-Islam. So that's why I have to send a little Tamid al-Chacham that are of a pristine nature and wouldn't do the Avera. Where it says, no, Lav Dafke, that's not the reason. One could argue that even men of a lower character wouldn't do the Avera. We can't bring a riot against them, but here, the reason why the Bedavka sent along Tamidei Chachamim was Shiny Tamidei Chachamim, the Yodei, because they know the halach, and we turn to Pei Aleph Omid Aleph. Therefore, L'asruyebei, they could warn her, hey, listen, as Rashi says, top Rashi, Shim Yuvo Aleha, if you have relations with your wife, Ein Mayim Bokhtin Osa, then we're wasting our time in going to the base of English to have a drink the Mei Sota, it will not work. So therefore, that's why they sent along Tamidei Chachamim that know the din. We're not worried that they'll have relations with this woman, but we're interested in making sure that the husband doesn't sleep with his wife, because it's also at that point in time, and therefore that's why we send long Tamidei Chacham, and therefore you can't bring a raya, certainly not a proof against, but you can't bring a raya from our case now that a woman is not allowed to be closeted away with two men that are prutzim. Again, you can't bring a raya from here, we certainly can't bring a raya against this from our case. This is a good break point. We'll stop over here. Again, we're learning for Shalom al Yisrael. The hostages should be returned, the pair of Yameinu, healthy and safe, and all of Klal Yisrael should be safe. Be'ezus Hashem, there should be no more troubles for Klal Yisrael.